A Skagway man is sentenced after a September shooting incident, and Haines planners approve a resource extraction permit above Young Road. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. A Skagway man who pled guilty to a September armed confrontation with local police was sentenced in Juneau Superior Court this week. KHNS's Abby Collins reports.
Judge Philip Hollenberg accepted a plea agreement sentencing Eric Craig Estep on two counts related to the September incident. According to charging documents, on September 29th, Skagway police responded to Estep's home after receiving reports he was suicidal, intoxicated, armed with guns and knives, and requesting police to respond. Police said Estep yelled he wanted officers to kill him before emerging from the residence and firing two shots from a shotgun. He surrendered after a brief standoff, but both officers involved said they feared for their lives. Estep pleaded guilty to one charge of assault in the third degree, admitting the offense was committed against a peace officer. For that charge, Estep was sentenced to 18 months with 12 months suspended and 2 years of probation. The conditions of his probation prevent Estep from owning or possessing a firearm or any other weapon capable of inflicting bodily harm. And he may not consume alcohol. He also pleaded guilty to misconduct involving a weapon in the fourth degree and was sentenced to an additional 30 days. That adds up to 7 months in prison. He'll also have to forfeit the firearms used in the incident. Here's Judge Pollenberg.
I think the goal here is to have a sentence that's going to give you some incentives to stay on top of your mental health issues, to get help if things start to go south for you.
Estep received mental health treatment after the September incident. At the sentencing, Estep apologized for what happened and said he only did it because he wanted officers to shoot him.
Those guys wasn't just some police officer with no name. I shop with them every day. You know, there's only 600 of us live in my town. And I feel bad for that. And I know going back up there, they're going to be nervous, you know, having me back. And, you know, I'm sorry it all happened. On the good note, I'm glad they didn't kill me now.
He said he has an alcohol problem that he intends to seek treatment for. According to charging documents, Estep had admitted to consuming 16 beers before the shooting. Pollenberg said if Estep had been killed in the incident, there would have been consequences for everyone involved.
When we talk about suicide by cop, you know, there's a cost to that for the officer who's put in that position and who has to make a hard decision.
He said he didn't believe Estep intended to hurt anyone but himself and was glad he did not succeed. Reporting in Haines, I'm Abby Collins.
A Haines developer's request for a resource extraction conditional use permit was granted by the Planning Commission Thursday. A few neighbors said they were concerned about the noise from rock blasting and the hazards of large trucks transporting heavy materials. Planners put several conditions on the permit to help mitigate those impacts. Roger Schnabel of Southeast Road Builders owns a 65-acre property above Young Road and Skyline Drive. He already has permission to do clearing, grubbing, and blasting at that site. But now he says he wants to intensify the work.
I've pretty much done all that I can do with the existing excavators by doing some clearing and some grubbing, but now I wanted to get myself in a position where I can start getting the site opened up a little bit more, and that's going to require some drilling and blasting.
Schnabel's plan is to extract 7,500 cubic yards of material on the west side of the property over a 3-year period. The reason Schnabel needs a conditional use permit is because he plans to use the material for commercial sale. He wants to truck it directly to the small boat harbor expansion, where it will be used for riprap protection around the parking lot. Material that doesn't go to the boat harbor will go to a development on Front Street or get stored at Schnabel's staging site on 4th Avenue. The planned blasting and trucking worry some neighboring residents.
Obviously, anybody who has the dynamite going off in their neighborhood is going to be concerned.
Lanice Fontenot said she was worried not just about the noise, but also about the truck routes.
And that concerns me because my neighborhood area there is a really a lot of recreational people go up there in the summertime. We have a lot of hikers, we have a lot of children on bikes, we have a lot of people walking their dogs because the Rapinski Trailhead is right up around that corner.
My number one approach with this is going to be safety.
Schnabel emphasized that safety would be a top priority during the extraction and trucking. The planning commissioners talked about what hours of operation would be least disruptive to residents but still give Schnabel a fair opportunity to get his work done. The commission expanded the hours recommended by interim borough manager Brad Ryan, allowing blasting between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Monday through Friday and 10 to 4 on Saturday, and hauling between 8 and 5 Monday through Saturday. That's when nearby resident James Sage spoke up.
He could do it 7 days a week. My kids would love it.
Instead of specifying truck routes as recommended by Ryan, the commission decided Schnabel should work with the police chief and borough manager to determine the safest routes. Ryan recommended Schnabel post a bond to guarantee he would repair damage to Young Road caused by the heavy trucks. Planning Commissioner Rob Miller said that seemed like an inappropriate restriction.
I'm having difficulty with the notion of charging Roger for running highway legal roads, which is his right to do, really, on a public roadway.
The commissioners also had difficulty with the suggestion that operations not occur during special event days as determined by the tourism office. They said it was too open-ended. The commission instead specified operation is not allowed during Beer Fest. They decided that was the event that had the most likelihood of conflicting with truck traffic. Here's Lee Heinmiller.
On Beer Fest day, if you start at the dock and drive past the fairgrounds, or when it's happened at the fairgrounds, it is a parade of drunken fools from the dock to there.
Finally, the commission took out a requirement that Schnabel submit a drainage plan to deal with stormwater runoff. Schnabel said he already has to follow a DEC regulation plan. The commission requested he bring that plan to the borough. The conditional use permit was approved unanimously by the five commissioners who voted. Jeremy Stevens and Brenda Josephson recused themselves because of their involvement with the project. The resource extraction permit expires in 3 years. After that, it could become a much quieter area. Schnabel says his ultimate goal is to develop the property as a residential subdivision. The proposed reorganization of the Alaska Marine Highway System does not include privatization. Robert Venables with the Southeast Conference sent that message loud and clear to the Sitka Chamber of Commerce this week. Instead, Venables suggested that managing the ferries under a state corporation would give the system a public service mandate with a business-minded approach. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
The Southeast Conference signed a deal with the governor last spring to take the lead in designing a new business structure and operating plan for the Marine Highway. In November, the group released the results of their Phase 1 study, which included creating a public corporation to manage the state-owned vessels and terminals. The idea hasn't been universally well received. Robert Venables oversees the steering committee tasked with the project. He defended its work in his presentation to the Sitka Chamber of Commerce.
We're not advocating to privatize the ferry system. Okay, we're not even advocating for public authority, which is responsible for all of its fundraising. So we want to be very, very clear on that, because there's been some misconceptions that if somehow you partner with the private sector, either on board or on shore side with your assets that you have, that somehow you're privatizing it and you're doing away with the state's participation.
Among the early opponents of the plan is Sitka Senator Bert Stedman, who believes the new corporate structure would give Rail Belt legislators just the excuse they need to cut Marine Highway funding even further. Venables told the Sitka Chamber that a corporate board with expertise in marine transportation would likely look for ways to grow revenues. He also thinks that consistent leadership outside of the political arena would benefit the system.
Well, we do see the advantages of becoming a more nimble management that has a little more arm's length to the political influence.
The Southeast Conference will hold a mid-session summit in Juneau the second week of March. Marine highway reform is at the top of the agenda.
Our goal is to make a clear case for whether this public corporation should come together, what that business and strategic operating plan would look like, and then what the path would be legislatively to make that happen.
Among them, Juneau Senator Dennis Egan and Representative Sam Keto and Justin Parrish. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening.